You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to the book of James, chapter 1. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we do bow before you. God, help us. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, we have been looking at the beginning. The Word, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word, was with God, is God, co-equal with God. And we looked at that, and God, in his wonderful kindness, created the Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and God started it all out in a way that would demonstrate to angels, good and bad, what Lucifer, son of the morning, had done when he sinned. And he went from an angel in light to darkness. And he would go and corrupt Eve and thus Adam, and sin would enter the world, darkness. So God started it all when there was just God and angels. God put it out there, that massive ball, as it were, and he covered it with darkness. And God covered it like that. And we've been looking at, why did God do that? Because the great issue is that men in darkness need light. They need light. Thus, continuing our thoughts, if I may, James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good gift, and that's the action of giving, the act of giving. Every good gift and every perfect gift, complete gift, and that's the gift itself. So you have the act of giving and the gift. The act of giving, God, every act, all giving, and all gifts. Every good gift and every gift is from above, not down below. The source is God. Over, if you would, while you're here, over to chapter 3, looking at this little adverb, from above. And in chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 15, this wisdom, I'll read verse 14 for a little better context. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, for lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And you'll see the adverb again, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, from above, that which comes down, coming the source, every good gift, all of the giving and all of the gifts are from above God. One other place to lock it in, hold your finger here, we're coming right back, to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. The source of every gift, the source of all giving, is God. Now, chapter 3, going directly, if I may, to verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the little word, A-G-A-I-N, is the same word from above. And I can read it that way. I say unto thee, except a man be born from above, over if you would, to verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again from above. So the source is God. God is the source. James chapter 1, verse 17. God is the giver. God is the giver. And now in the light of that, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He's the source of every all giving and all gifts. He is the source. Now, thus, that's the positive side. The negative side, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, tried, to put on trial, to put to the proof. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, put to the proof by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God cannot. Three times the word is there, tempted, tempted. Verse 14. But every man is tempted, there's your same verb, when he is drawn away in his own lust and enticed, tempted to make trial, to put to the test, and in a good sense, to prove, to show a person's disposition, to improve, to encourage. And thus you would have the word in the Old Testament, and God, Genesis 22:1, which we were there the other day, in the word provision. God provided. And God proved Abraham. He put him to the test to prove, to bring out of him, to reveal something. And it is used in Israel. God sent Israel, Deuteronomy 8, and God proved Israel in the wilderness by the what they ate and what they didn't eat and how they ate and how they handled the manna, etc. God put them to the test. God put them to the test. But in Psalm 78, you may want to hold your finger here again just to exercise. In Psalm 78 is the negative. And in Psalm 78, please, picking up in verse 18. And they, Israel, tempted God, put him to the proof, tempted God in their heart. They were doing it negatively. They were doing it to ensnare, to entrap God. Tempted God in their heart by asking meat or food for their lust. Yea, they spake against God, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God survive? Can God keep us? Can God do anything? Can God? God was doing everything. But, they everything isn't enough. And the problem was with God, his person, not his power. They just didn't want to have to deal with God. So thus, they murmured against God. They put God to the test. Thus, back over to James. James chapter 1. In verse 13, the word tempted, let no man say when he is tempted, put to the test on trial. And to put it another way, the negative side, so you see it, to put God on trial, to seduce God, to cause God to sin. They wanted to make God to be like them, to seduce God, to tempt, to put him on trial, being drawn, make God be drawn into sin. Thus, verse 13, say truly, I am seduced by God. God will not seduce. You cannot put God on trial. God cannot be seduced to evil. God will not do evil at all. He cannot be seduced by anyone in any way to do evil. Now, that's the background, if you would. And verse 14 again. But everyone is seduced by his own lust. Now, so that is in contrast to verse 17. God, you're going to be put on trial. And God, we're tempted. God, you put us on trial to make us do wrong. God, you tempt us, put us wrongly on trial. God, we cannot seduce God, make God produce evil. God will not sin. Now, that, you want to tie verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. God does not do that. God does the opposite of that. God does not try to cripple you. God tries to give to you, provide for you, the very opposite in every gift, the very opposite. Now, and remember in verse chapter 1, verse 2, you have the same verb, only on a positive side. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers various kinds of temptation, being put to the test, being put on trial, being put to the proof, to see God allows test, trial, to prove us, to bring out of us where we're at. But when we go and put God on trial in order to make him respond in the light of our evil, in the light of our motivation, our manipulation of him, God cannot do that at all. And thus there is the contrast between verse 13 and verse 17. God cannot, verse 13. Only God can, verse 17. God cannot sin. Pause here. Only God can do good. Now, having said that in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father. Cometh down, is coming down, descending down from above, is coming down from the Father of lights. He is the Father of lights, plural. When it's plural, all that is light, sun, moon, stars, all kinds of spiritual light, every kind of light. God is the Father. He's the source of all light. And he's the Father of all light. And with whom is no variableness, no varying, no, like all the heavenly bodies out there, the lights, God the star, the stars, the sun, the moon, and as the thing changes, you know, the world spinning around, and here's the sun and the stars, and we see them in one position, and we see them in another position, depending on the season, etc. They're all seemingly moving, have a variety of positions. Verse 17, the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There is no change, shadow, change, the slightest change. Darkness. The turning of a body. And as the moon turns and the shade, you see the light reflected of it. As you see the world change, the shadows, where there's a darkness, where the light is blocked. Shadows. God does not. All of the lights may change in the universe as you see them. It's dark, it's light. God gave daylight and darkness. God made it. But God does not change. God is absolutely, consistently who he is forever and ever. God, in whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning, none whatsoever. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, Having said that, and remember light, light is the opposite. The opposite of light is darkness, darkness. Underived absolute light, light, shining, shining, clear, manifest. All light is from God, from God. Thus, hang on, all that darkness is, what is darkness? It is the absence of light. All that light is not found in darkness. All that is found in darkness is not found in light, light. Every, and thus happiness, you know, prosperity on the one hand, and calamity and sorrow and suffering on the other. Thus, every form and development of life, every form and development of life is conditioned upon light. All of life is conditioned upon light, 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 light. God is light and God is life. Now, having said that, then consider with me, if you would, that it is absurd, wrong to say God constrains men to sin on purpose. God never, never, never causes men, humans, to sin. That he may have a pretense to make them miserable. God never, never causes sin in order to make men, women miserable. That's contrary to God. Now, and remember in Genesis 1:3, we read, and there was darkness upon the face of the deep, etc. And verse 3, and God, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis 1:3, darkness. Well, what are we going to do with darkness? How are we going to fix darkness? Well, God said, watch, and God made light. There's no sun or moon yet, just light. God is light. God made light and took the darkness in step by step as you go through Genesis 1 and took all the things that were in chaos, in having no form, no meaning, and he made it all in 6 days, all come out in the light and right, and it was good. Now, having said that, and remember now, every form and development of life is conditioned upon light. The living are given light. The living are given light. Light reveals, darkness conceals. The living need to know the source of their existence, the God of life, and their purpose. What is their purpose on earth? God said, in order for man in darkness, in sin, they need to know their purpose. They need to know the Creator. They need to know why they're here. God, I made them alive so that they would have light to know why they're alive. Hang on, we'll put it together. Thus, over if you would, remember now, in John chapter 1, and in John chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 3, I'll read verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and since we did that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things, everything, all things were made, came into being. That's the verb, to come into being. All things were made, came into being by or through Him. And without Him, apart from Him, if you leave Him out, apart from Him, was not anything made that came into existence that was made that came into existence. Nothing came into existence apart from Him. He made it all of it, every good gift. He's the giver of the gifts. And he's the Father of lights. And he gives all life. Pick it up now, if I may. And by the way, do you see the word, so you can get a little help there maybe? In verse 3, all things were made by Him or through Him. He's the agent. He's the source. And without him, the little word without, apart from him. You know it in John, you don't have to turn there, John 15:5. Without me, you can do what? Nothing. The word without me, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, nothing. Now here it is in verse 3. Apart from Him was not anything created. He created it all. Thus, hang on, in the light of that. And going, if I can, over to in verse 4. God created, He maintains life, all life. He is the light. He who is light created light. And without Him, without which, there would be no life. Without life, without light, I should say, there can be no life. God created every living thing. Every living thing requires light. You cannot have life without light, light, light. And you would say, and all you do is you know all these things. If you go down to the depths, the ocean goes down, 7 miles in places off Malaysia and Chile, off the coast, South America, etc. And down it goes. And boy, is it dark down there. The fish don't see. But the fish down in the deep darkness are dependent on what is above them, the light upon the ocean. Down deep in the earth, all kinds of critters and creatures, the little mole who can't see, under the earth, down there. They're all dependent on the light upon the earth, without which there would be no life. All God made all living things, and He made light that makes life possible. Light does. Now, having said that, John 1 and verse 4. In him who made everything, in him was life. He is, tenses, perfect life. The life is in progress, enduring life, continuing life, eternal life. In him was life, all life in quality, the quality of it. The quantity of it, the essence of it. Verse 4. In him was life, the essence of it, the kind of life, quality. And the life was the light of men. And the light was the life of men. Light. So here in verse 4, the relationship. The world has a relationship to the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became flesh. The world has a relationship to Him. He is the one who made all living creatures. That's you guys, girls. He made you alive. He made butterflies alive and bugs alive and bacteria alive. God made it all alive. There's nothing living that He didn't make. And He is the light. He is the light, the life and the light. Verse 4, He is the light of men. He is the light of men. Men, they need light. Why? Because they're in darkness. They're in darkness. They need to exercise and know God, the Creator. All mankind needs light. God has given mankind light. He gave them life. He made them alive. He gave them light so that they could live. And He is the light to bring them to spiritual life. And thus, the Word is at once light and makes for life. Now, having said that, God, who is light, created light, all those electrical particles, etc., physical light, you know, to see, physical light to see, and mental light, mental, to know, mental light to know, to exercise what we see, spiritual light to know, to be able to know spiritual life. We have to have spiritual light to have spiritual life. That's right. You have to have light. And the living need light. God made the day, the sun by day, and the moon and stars by night to tell us there's a war. You need light. Men love darkness because they don't want to have the light. They don't want light. Light reveals. Darkness conceals. They want to hide from God. Who's light? They're living. They got a problem. They need light. They're in darkness. The absence of light. The absence of right. The absence of God. Thus, with that in mind, over, if you would please, to Daniel chapter 4. Men need light. God has given light. You cannot exist without light. Light. So God, you've given it. That's right. Physical light, mental light, spiritual light, to know you, the only true God and the Creator, to know why we have life. We have life, not evolution. We're not an accident. We're not a freak. We have life. And you need light to understand why you have life. Light reveals the Creator. Daniel chapter 4. And in verse 17 again, 4 and 17. Remember, Daniel, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent, to the purpose. What is the purpose? That the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and He giveth it to whomsoever He will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. The world needs to know everything. It isn't all an accident. God is on top of it all. God said, you need light to know. Romans chapter 1. Look at it again. Romans chapter 1. Watch it in the light of what we're doing. Romans chapter 1, please. And in Romans 1, I'm just going to I'll emphasize the word when I get there. Verse 19, verse 18, they hold the truth in a wrong way. In other words, people have information, they just don't have it, they aren't handling it right. Because, verse 19, that which may be known of God is manifest, made clear in light, manifest, made clear in them, in the heart. Why? For God hath showed it unto them. God makes Himself known to every human being born in sin, darkness, and God makes Himself known. He's the light. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He makes possible light. Verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world eye, clearly seen. You have to have light to see. Being understood by the things that are made. Here they are all around us, and they're all based on light. They all live because of light. And they are made, even His eternal power and Godhead as deity, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore, also God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. God gives light, He is light, to know why you have life, why your heart beats, why you're here. God gives light to know, for the living to understand the Creator, the source of their life. Now, having said that, over to Job chapter 3. Job in chapter 3. Job in chapter 3, please. Now remember, Job has gone through a lot. He is physically, from head to toe, in great pain, difficulty. Not only his head to toe, he's lost everyone. He lost his children, lost his servants, lost his animals, lost his wealth, essentially, lost his health, kept his wife. And thus, here he is. All in one day. One day, and then the next day, of course, God, the devil, crippled him with disease. Now, Job, would you tell us this business of light and darkness? Darkness, that's right. It's all about God trying to get the living to understand the Creator by giving them light, by giving them understanding. So they can look at the world around him and see, it just didn't happen. It's no accident. The designs are unique. The designs are endlessly, endlessly unique. From bugs, birds, animals, flowers, trees, bacteria. Boy, what isn't unique? Wow. Chapter 3 of Job. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. He didn't curse God. He cursed his day. His day. Now remember, he's in great trouble now. Great anguish. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceive. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let light shine upon it. You see, something that doesn't exist, there's no need for light. It's when it becomes living, then it needs light. Dead don't need light. Dead things, living things need light. Now, verse 5, let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Don't let it exist. And if it doesn't exist, it doesn't need light. It's in darkness. That's the trouble. Darkness needs light. Now, hang on. Skipping, if I can, verse 9. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day. Don't let it exist. Don't let it come into being. Don't let it happen at all. Now, God, Job curses the day of his birth. His birth. Verse 10, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb and hid sorrow from mine eyes. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb and hid sorrow from mine eyes. Verse 11, you have another section. A, 1 through 10, Job curses the day of his birth. Verse 11, why? If I had to be born, and now look at what happens to me. Look at what happens. Here I am in this strait, this condition. Verse 11. Why died I not? Why do I keep staying alive? Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Why the breasts that I should suck, my mother, my father? Why? Why did I have to go through it? For now, verse 13, would I have lain still and been quiet? I should have slept then. Had I been at rest, at least I wouldn't have had to go through all this if I wasn't born. Why am I staying alive? If I could just end it, I'd be relieved. Thus, with kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as an hidden, untimely birth, I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. In other words, if we just stop my existence. I'm living, Job said, but look at the condition I'm living in. Look at what it's like for me. I need light. I need light. If I'm like this, I don't understand. In the darkness, better I was never born. Why do I continue my existence? Death is a relief. Death is a relief. The greatest blessing I could have is to escape the troubles of this earthly existence by dying. But I don't die. I just keep going. It doesn't stop. Doesn't end. Chapter 3. And in verse 20, Job, why again? Why does God allow such conditions? Suffering, sorrow, heartache, headache. Why does God allow this? Verse 20. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery? For life unto the bitter in soul. Here I am alive. I need light. Light is given. And I see my suffering. I realize my existence. I realize my trouble. I realize my pain, my heartache, my loss, my health, my wealth. I realize this. That's light is given so you can know it. So you can realize your condition, your existence, so you understand it. You have the reality of existence. That's right. Now, verse 21, which long for death, but it cometh not, it doesn't come, and dig for it more than for hid treasures. I would like to find a way out. Verse 22, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. It's so good to be able to just terminate and end this. But it keeps going. Verse 23, why is light given to a man whose way is hid? A mystery. And whom God hath hedged him in. Now remember, that is used in chapter 1, verse 10. You can turn there for a moment. Hath not thou made an hedge about him? God hedged Job in for blessing. He surrounded him. The devil couldn't touch him. The devil can't get anywhere. How's he going to come? If God's there, here, and God's choosing to bless, would you tell me how anyone can get to us? The bugs, the disease, the danger, it's all around us, but it can't get to us. Unless God took away the hedge, and that's what Job asked. And now, Job, what are you saying? God has hedged me in and allowed the devil to come and get me, to test me, to prove me, to put me to the test. And now here I am, and I'm looking, and I'm hedged in. I can't get out of the condition I'm in. Pain, sorrow, suffering, heartache, physical, mental, spiritual. Here I am. I can't get out. Ah, God hedged me in. God, why don't you release me so I can die and escape? I'm not. Verse 24. For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Verse 26. I am not safe. The word safe, to be at ease, to enjoy, to relax, to be exposed to joy, safety. I am not safe. Neither had I rest. The word rest, to be undisturbed. I am disturbed. I am not safe. I am disturbed. Negative. Verse third one. Neither am I quiet, to be comfortably at rest. I'm not able to be comfortably at rest. And yet all this trouble is there. All this trouble is there, and I can't find safety. I can't find at ease. I am disturbed. I have no comfort. I'm caught. Ah, I'm hedged in. God, I need light. I need light. I don't understand. I want to escape to darkness. But you keep me alive. The living need light. Thus, over if you would, to Job chapter 29. No, before you go to 29, go to 23. Job 23. You'll catch it quickly. Job, oh, he's got it. God has to work it out. That's right. God, why? I can't escape. No. No, he hedged in. Job 23, verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, put me to the test, I will come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not denied, not declined. I've stayed. God, here I am. I'm there. I just don't understand. I need light. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. He does whatever he wants. That's right. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. For me, personal, profitable, purposeful. And many such things are with him. God has all kinds of things in mind for me, including what I'm going through. I'm going through it. That's right. Just remember Sunday school. In order to get a product, there has to be the process. The cake ingredients have to be on the table before you have the finished cake. You must have the process to get the product. Now, Job Job, God's putting him through it. That's right. Let me skip down quickly. Verse 14, for he performeth the thing that is appointed unto me, and many such things are with him. Therefore, I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft. The Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness. Because I'm living, and it's dark, and the darkness needs light for me to understand what on earth is happening. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. God is allowing me to go through it all with no light. I don't understand. Chapter 29. Verse 1. Job again. Job continued his parable, his illustration, his example, and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. Do you know, before this happened, I walked before God, and he hedged me in, and he blessed me. He blessed my going out and my coming in. He blessed my sheep, my cows, my daughter, my family. He blessed my whole life, my friends. Here I am now, with my physical condition. I look out from the dunghill that I'm on, looking out, and I see no more sheep, cattle, no children. There's my wife. She won't even look at me, probably. There she is. Here they are. And here's my three friends. Here's three friends that come along, and they don't know why. And they said, Job, we knew you had great wealth. You were perfect before God. God blessed you. What on earth did you do wrong, Job? What did you do wrong? And here's the poor friends pitying him, and Job is trying to answer him. I don't know what I did wrong, said Job. God is doing what he's doing, and I can't explain it. And you're badgering me that I must have done something terribly wrong in order to lose out on all of these benefits that I had. It's all gone. Chapter 29, verse 4. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, I had it all. And it's all, I had it all, but I don't now. I don't have any of it. Any of it at all. Wow. Not at all. God, I need light. I need light. God, why don't you quit? Couldn't you shorten it? Shorten it. You shorten it, you said. Job wouldn't have known this. He's going to shorten the tribulation to 7 years so that some survive. But why couldn't you shorten it? Couldn't it be a little less long, less difficult? Shouldn't the pain be eased? No. Job, I want to die. Darkness, I need light. Job 42. And you know, verse 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Wherefore have I uttered that which I understood not? I needed light. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. I didn't understand how this all works. God, I couldn't figure it out. How can any good thing come out of this? Well, God said, remember what I did. I hung the ball, the mass, the chaos out there. I hung it in space, in darkness. And you want to know what I can do when there's no life, when it's void and empty and nothing? I can give it light and give it life. So don't get discouraged, Job. Don't get discouraged. Hang in there. Let God finish his job. Finish the job, Job, yourself. Trust him. You said you were going to trust him. Keep on trusting him. Thus, Job 42. Here I beseech thee, verse 4, and I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes, God. I was one dummy. God, if I'd just known, I would have sung my way through this, and I never would have said, why was I born? I never would have said that. I would say, I'm glad I'm born. With all the pain, suffering, sorrow, headache, I'd say, I'm glad that I'm alive so that I can have light. And by the way, God, you certainly know what you're doing. Verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. By the way, God said, I'm going to double. You go through this. I'm going to double what you had. I'm going to double it. If you thought I did it for nothing, I didn't want to make you miserable. I wanted to make you a man. I did not make this. I allowed the devil to do something to you. Only so far. He couldn't kill you. But he could do this to you. And I let it happen, Job. I let it happen. Why? Remember, we don't want to ask why. We want to say what? God, what are you after in this? What do you want in this? God. We'll pray. Our God and Father, thank you that we are able to express and exercise life, physical life, mental life, and yea, because of your grace, spiritual life. And the life requires light. And the light requires life. And God, you are the source of our life. You are the source of our light. God, we don't want to walk in darkness. We want to walk with you. We want to be able to have light and thus write in the darkness of our journey. In a world, our God, that's getting topsy-turvy, God, we want to be able to understand so that we can withstand, so that we can stand firm, sure-footed, with understanding. We know you, our Creator, our Savior, our God. God, thank you. We know why we have physical life, why we're alive, so that we can know you, the Creator, the Savior, and have light and more light so that we can enjoy life and have rhyme and reason for it, to be able to understand the thick and the thin, the easy, the hard, the much, the little. God, thank you very much. So deal with us, and for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, deal with them, that they might be convicted, convinced, to receive you as their Lord and Savior, to bring a light into the darkness. God, let it be so. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we can sing a stanza, please, of 543.